Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So during the football season, right around this time, you will hear from the great Joe Beningo, my former longtime partner, diehard Jet fan. You still hear him on Saturdays. 4 o'clock Mondays after a Jet game day, he will join us. This week, though, it will be tomorrow. So if you're looking to hear from Joe, we will hear from him tomorrow, 4 o'clock. But normally, it will be Mondays at 4 o'clock.
And the Jets hate me. You know they can't stand me over there.
Listen, I understand.
That's your fault, Joe.
The Jet Fan Hall of Fame, they actually have a Jet Fan Hall of Fame.
Is he in it?
Is not a real Hall of Fame until Joe Beningo is inducted. Mm. It's like the WWE Hall of Fame before they inducted Bruno Sammartino. It's not a real Hall of Fame.
How is he not in it?
Because he hates, because they think he hates the Jets, even though he just calls it like it is.
Well, you know? I mean, isn't that what it's supposed to be?
Of course!
That's what fans do.
Of course!
Who's in the Jet Hall of Fame? Hall of Fame?
I'm sure Fireman Ed is, and I'm sure a few others
didn't
are.
He quit Daryl
Mooney.
He quit. He quit, but then he came back. By the way, have we heard yet? Because late last week, obviously, I took a lot of crap for selling my season tickets. I did not go to Sunday's game. It had nothing to do with my expectations for the team. It was just a very busy Sunday.
It would have been a nice game for you to be at, by the way.
Well, they lost, so not really.
Well, I mean, you would have enjoyed it immensely until the last minute and a half.
aspects of it, I guess. But walking out of MetLife Stadium a loser with like 15,000 terrible towels being waved in my face doesn't exactly sound appetizing.
Yeah, it's probably more like 30,000.
I was going to say, I lowered the number. but have we found out yet if a Steeler fan or a Jet fan bought my season tickets? I revealed the section on the air last week.
No, I don't think we've heard.
Now, I haven't checked
Didn't you have spies that were supposed to check in for you?
I did, but here's a problem. I don't check my mentions a lot on Twitter, so the best way to interact with me is either to DM me or email TheRicoB@gmail.com.
If
someone did take a picture of my season ticket so we can know definitively if I sold it to Steeler fans or Jet fans, it'd be nice to know. Now, sitting at home watching the game, it was odd because it sounded like and looked like there were a lot of Steeler fans there. But when Aaron Rodgers jogged onto the field for his first possession, there was a loud chorus of boos, which obviously is coming from Jet fans, not Steeler fans yet. So it sounded like...
Well, it's weird because boos echo. Like the cheer is not a specific consonant or vowel. It's just, it's like, yeah, what do you do when you cheer?
I don't know, Nelly.
I'm trying to think what a cheer is.
You were at a game yesterday. Yeah. What did you say?
I guess it's yeah. It's yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's
just yeah.
I don't know what a cheer is.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But a boo is specific.
Right.
It's like boo, and everybody's using the same word. And so it just reverberates.
I apologize for even asking, Sean. He obviously didn't cheer anything yesterday at the Giants game. What would you have cheered other than the national anthem?
There was actually only one moment where Giant fans stood up and slapped hands. And it was the scataboo block. I'm not kidding. So much so that this morning when I was re-going through the game, I had to say myself, who even caught the pass on that play?
Yeah. That was the highlight of the game.
It was Malik, wasn't it?
It was. But that's how sad, I guess, the Giants were.
Yeah.
That we cheered a block to the point we knew it was a completion. And I'm telling you, because the PA system doesn't work down there, nobody knew who caught the pass.
And then he caught that pass on the sideline.
Yes. So and just sort of bounced it off people.
Yeah.
The only play I think I would have cheered at if I'm a Giant fan is actually them throwing the flag for intentional grounding at the end of the first half that literally wiped points off the board.
Yeah. Abdul Carter.
That was, to me, that was, and Abdul Carter on another one I may have cheered at, the partially blocked punt.
Yeah, that was a low IQ play, rare low IQ play for Jaden Daniels.
100%. 100%.
High IQ, just real quickly on Abdul Carter there, he could have easily grabbed and tackled and driven Jaden Daniels instead of him throwing and knew enough to say, I'm going to get called for a penalty and pulled up, and then Jaden Daniels threw that.
That's good mentorship because Brian Burns had that on the second sack. Same thing. Just let him go.
Yep.
You have to do it sometimes, unfortunately.
No, you do.
So I thought the crowd for the Jets-Steeler game seemed pretty mixed, but seemed like there were a lot of Jet fans there for the booing that we heard. And Aaron Rodgers, This is just me speaking. I can't speak for every Jet fan on this because I know we had a lot of different varying opinions on what the Jets should have done. As you recall, back in January, I was on the side of not bringing him back. And it wasn't an emotional thing. It was more of a his age,
yes,
his contract, like, just move on.
Right.
And so I was in favor of moving on from Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. I didn't have this breakup where I was mad at Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I was going to say, it didn't feel like there was vitriol.
No, I didn't have it. And maybe some others did. Like, I think of the other mercenary piece of craps that played for my teams, and I have a lot of them. Durant, Kyrie, Harden, Scherzer, Verlander, and Rodgers. Like, that's a really good mm-hmm. list. And I would put Rodgers kind of on the side of a Justin Verlander, where I don't love him. Like, I cheered Durant when he came back. I booed Kyrie. I booed Harden. I booed Scherzer, right? So there's clear line of demarcations on how I felt. But with Durant, I was like, hey, thank you. You tried. And with Verlander, it's like a shrug of the shoulders. Like, all right.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever. And that's how I felt about Rodgers. Like, I don't think any Jet fan shouldn't have booed him. I think you boo him just because it's Aaron Rodgers. It's a Hall of Fame quarterback that you're facing. I would have treated Aaron Rodgers as if it was just Aaron Rodgers playing the Jets.
Yeah, apathy.
With no history with the Jets.
Apathy is more, I think, apt for him because what did he do? He was here for 2 years,
and
one of which he didn't play.
And he tried.
And he tried. He was compromised still last year. You could tell. It just didn't feel like the Aaron Rodgers that you see now with the Steelers before with the Green Bay Packers.
I look at him very differently than Brett Favre and very differently than Scherzer and Kyrie Irving and James Harden. Mm-hmm. I look at him very Verlander-like. So I admit, it sucked losing to the Steelers. I did not lose sleep over losing to Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. I thought Aaron Rodgers played well, but I was more angry at my team than I was impressed by Aaron Rodgers. And honestly, and I'll ask you this because you can be the ultimate IFO. Who played better, Justin Fields or Aaron Rodgers?
I think Justin Fields played better.
Interesting. Okay. Thank you.
Justin Fields also left a couple of plays on the field.
Yeah.
Mostly in the because we talked about their run game already and how effective it is, that that inside zone that they run everywhere, and it's pulling and all these other things. But they do a lot of zone reads. And early in the game, I think he was just, I want my running backs to cook. So he's just letting them go.
Right.
Right. Just, I'm handing it off even if T.J. Watt is crashing the edge and potentially is going to make a play. And it happened with Braylon Allen. Brees ran away from him. But there was one early, and you saw him. He handed it off to Brees, and he was like, oh. Because T.J. collapsed hard.
Right.
And if he kept it, he's running 25 yards for a touchdown.
Right.
So he was good, but he left some plays on the field, too.
So even if you had said, that's Rodgers, but it's close. Mm-hmm. If it's close, then we as Jet fans have nothing to be mad about. One guy's 41 years old. The other guy is a lottery ticket who may be the answer.
Right.
Hopefully is. So I didn't go to sleep last night mad about Aaron Rodgers. Now, Aaron Rodgers is a different animal because he was asked after the game about the emotions of beating the New York Jets. Like, was it extra special beating the New York Jets? Here's what Aaron Rodgers had to say.
You spoke about the meeting with Aaron Glenn on McAfee a few months ago. Beating him, is there significance in that, since he basically told you to your face that he didn't think you were right for that team?
Yes, that's what he did.
So there's significance in beating him for you?
I was happy to beat everybody associated with the Jets.
Now, when you listen to that answer, I think what's gotten attention is the last part, that he's happy to beat anybody with the New York Jets.
Because that means
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Garrett Wilson,
right?
Sauce Gardner,
Joe Beningo, Fireman Ed,
fan base,
Ticket Taker,
Woody,
right?
That's everybody.
But that's not what he meant.
That's everybody,
right? His answer is he's pissed at Aaron Glenn. Play that one more time, because Brian Costello, and I love how direct he was. Aaron Glenn told you to your face, you can't play, and we're better off without you. And listen to how Aaron confirmed it.
He spoke about the meeting with Aaron Glenn on McAfee a few months ago. beating him, is there significance in that, since he basically told you to your face that, that he didn't think you were right for that team?
Yes, that's what he did.
Significance in beating him?
I don't know. So he confirmed, yeah, that's what he did. So I wanted to play that because I think the proper context is needed. He does not have a personal vendetta against Iron Staten Island or Joe Beningo or me or Garrett Wilson or Breece Hall. He has a personal vendetta against Aaron Glenn, and I don't blame him. I agree with Aaron's ultimate decision, but I said this to you at the time. I didn't love the bedside manner of it.
Right.
Would have done it differently, but at the end of the day, you're judged on the results.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Aaron Rodgers went on because he had more to say about the way he felt beating his former team.
It was nice to win, especially, you know, hearing some of the cat calls out there and the boo birds. You know, I'm not sensitive about that. I expected that, you know, kind of like that. But there were probably people in the organization didn't think I could play anymore. So it was nice to remind those people that I still can.
Couple of things. Number one, he didn't like the boos and the catcalls. Because for him to bring it up and then say, I kind of like it, it's a passive aggressive, that bothered him. He, and I understand what's going through his brain. Hey, guys, I came here, I got hurt. I left it on the field. Why are you booing me? Because I think, you tell me if I'm wrong, some players don't understand why fans boo.
Yeah, yeah. But I think Aaron Rodgers has been around long enough to get it and the rationality of some fan bases. So he understands that. But at the same time, I think what you just said is exactly right. He got hurt. He tore his Achilles because he was 39 years old. He tried to come back that season, which is ridiculous, but he tried to. And then he came back probably because he compromised himself the year before, not fully healthy in 2024. But he played his ass off. Yeah. At least he tried to.
Yeah.
Now, he wasn't good enough. But that doesn't mean that you hate on the guy. So I think you might be right. He was probably bothered because there was not a reason for the Jet fan base to be irate with him.
Well, Aaron, if you're listening, I want to clarify things. There's a reason why people booed you. And I can't speak for everybody, but I think the majority of people, we treated you like a Hall of Fame quarterback that we're facing in week one. That's what I would have done. So when I hear you can't boo Aaron Rodgers, no, I'm booing an opponent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not booing him because he didn't try hard enough. I'm not booing because I'm bitter about what happened. I appreciate Aaron Rodgers. He tried. It didn't work. I think he was treated like Aaron Rodgers would have been treated even if he never played for the Jets. Here's a Hall of Fame quarterback on the much ballyhooed Pittsburgh Steelers in my building that's filling up with fans of that team. You damn right I'm going to boo you. Not because I'm mad at you, but because you're the enemy. Like, that's just the way sports works.
Right.
I'll put it up a notch. On Friday
was
night.
Was he booed throughout the game or
no,
just at the end?
It was just the beginning.
Yeah, so then who cares?
But he brought it up.
I know, but I agree with you. Who cares? That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
He's the other team. When they announce the other team, hey, now introducing the Cleveland Browns. You just boo.
You boo. Guy comes on the field.
You could care less about the Cleveland Browns.
I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. Coming up in a few weeks. Actually, I don't even have to wait a few weeks. Next week when they play the Bills and Josh Allen walks on the field, he's going to get booed.
Yes.
A few weeks after that,
despite being the MVP and one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now.
Well, we're booing talent.
Of course.
A couple of weeks from now, Sean, when your dad, Dak Prescott, walks onto the field, we're going to boo him too.
In week 18?
What? That's 18?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
The Giants and Cowboys.
I'm talking about the Jets against the Cowboys. We're having a Jet discussion right now.
Well, then why would you say, point at me as the Giant fan and bring
because
up Dak Prescott?
He's your daddy. I said your daddy, Dak Prescott.
Dak
I'm describing
daddy. Okay, you're right. Really trying to poke him.
When do you beat him?
That doesn't make him not our daddy.
Okay.
The Eagles are our daddy.
All right. Congratulations to Jason in Middletown. He won a pair of tickets to see Mike Tyson coming to Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, Atlantic City, on January 23rd from our friends at the Hard Rock Hotel Atlantic City. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. Tune in tomorrow to Boomer and Geo for another chance to win. Casey in Rockland. Hey, Casey.
Hey, so I called in a couple weeks ago. You guys might remember I played basketball for Kendrick from Suffern.
Yes, yes, I do remember that. Yeah.
Yep, so what I called in about was Loogie was being a troll, and he said that week one was the Jets Super Bowl.
Yes,
that's right.
it's very obvious whose Super Bowl it was. It was Aaron Rodgers.
Well said.
I think, Tommy, you got it backwards the whole time. Our Super Bowl.
It was a good bit. He just had the wrong dude.
Well, hold on a second. Evan, would you not agree that was the most exciting Jet game in the last decade?
Yeah, it was incredibly exciting.
What made it exciting?
The fact that there were 7 lead changes.
So the Jets offense, the Jet team came to play. They were exciting. I wonder why. Because it was their Super Bowl.
No. It's week one. It's a new offense. Good. Yeah, they may be good.
Their offense is just good.
They may be good.
We'll see. In 6 weeks, if they score, 4 points combined in the next month or so, then they're not that good.
Most teams week one in their own building, they come out ready to play. At least they should.
Not if you're the, Giants.
But that's different. I mean, the Giants are a different situation. As Tiki explained, it wasn't that they didn't come out.
Yeah.
It was that neighbors noticed a dip in energy after they had.
I meant the last two seasons against the Vikings and the Cowboys. They came out at home and did nothing.
That's not to explain why the Jets played well. You know what you have to do right now with all
I just
the
take
respect?
Offense that it was a troll. It was my opinion, troll.
It's okay. Let's say it's your opinion. It's not a troll. You know what you have to do? And I think Tiki's going to agree.
No.
You got to take an L.
No, that's not an L.
It was not the Jets Super Bowl.
How about this? Can we be fair? Let's give it a couple of games, and if the Jets play like this every week, I'll take an L. But if they stink, then I'm not taking the L. I was right. This was their Super Bowl.
Tiki. Mm. Unrelated, sorry. Okay. Tiki.
Thank you.
This is going to be very
perfect. We accept that, though, by the way.
Yeah, we'll accept that. What I'm about to tell you may hurt your feelings, and you may not know what's coming. All that's okay.
I don't think I do.
I believe, and the only person that knows about this is Sean Morash. I believe that for the first time in your history working with
Fredo over here?
Hold on, Tiki.
Oh, you're a snake.
Hold on. I'm not a snake.
I haven't even finished my thought
yet. Watch out for the toll booth.
I'm going to let you finish your thought. Just know this, Tiki. I didn't come in with this information. He came in with information and said, you got to keep your mouth shut, but I need you to do something for me. That's it.
Let's hear it.
It's the pull audio that I don't have yet, and this is for later in the week. But I believe that this week on Evan and Tiki, for the first time ever, Tiki is not only going to have to take an L, but he's going to have to take an L.
I took one.
I haven't finished. You're going to take an L on a football argument you and I had. Now, okay?
No, I did take an L.
From a football argument?
No.
Because you always said you
remember I didn't have, I'd never taken an L.
Yeah.
And then I had to do it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but it wasn't football related.
Oh, yeah, of course not.
Because one thing Tiki once said to me is, Evan, you will never one-up me on a football debate. Okay. I will never wear an L on a football debate.
Yeah.
I believe. Now, Sean, we'll debut this later this week, probably Wednesday. Do you agree with the information I supplied, Tiki Barber will be forced to wear an L over a football debate he had with me?
I'm going to state this. I have not heard the audio Evan has asked me to pull. If the audio is as accurate as Evan says it is, then yes, he would have to wear an L.
Yeah, and even you would say, you'd laugh and say, all right, bro, you got me.
Okay.
Like, you would even have to, in fact, I guarantee you wouldn't even appeal it. You'd say, you know what, Ev? You got me. So stay tuned to Evan and Tiki this week, where I will give you audio from 2 years ago. It was a while ago.
2 years ago.
And it was heated. Like, you got so mad at me for something I said about football. You almost cursed on the air. True story. And that opinion has aged so badly for Tiki and potentially so good for me that you would have to wear an L for it.
Go kiss ass.
I don't want Tiki struggling to sleep. I'm not going to tell him. But Tiki, you're never going to guess it in a million years. I'm just going to tell you, it's very off the wall.
Okay.
Off the wall?
No. Off the wall in terms of it's not going to be obvious to you.
Right,
Like, I can already see you're thinking about it.
Remember that kind of argument.
You will not. You will not. And then Evan right now could probably take an L on the fact that, he doesn't believe in tanking. Look at the Commanders or Jaden Daniels. But that's okay.
Well, Tiki would have to take that too, though. He doesn't believe in tanking either.
No, I hate it.
We'd be in agreement on that one. Let's go to Joe in Manalapan. What's going on today, Joe?
It's Phil. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sorry about that, Phil.
It's all right. It's clear it's the offensive line, all right? I believe you have to put Jackson Dart in immediately. I'm not buying into the old way that, you're going to, set this kid up for failure. There's no draft week 6 where the offensive line is going to get better. If anything, it's going to get worse because there's going to be more injuries, especially with this team. Andrew Thomas coming back after a long layoff. I don't see it improving. So at what point do you put him in? You might as well see he could spark energy. He doesn't know any better, okay? Right. He probably will move the offense. He doesn't know any better. He's not going to wait that long. He's going to run through that collapsing pocket. And I just think that Schoen missed on too many picks on the offensive line, too many ancillary free agent offensive linemen that's supposed to be supporting parts that they're overrating, like Van Roten, guys like that. The center stinks, okay? He's going to be a backup somewhere next year, okay, if he's even in football. And he missed on, and, you know, if you watch Thibodeau on defense, you don't have to double-team him. All game yesterday, he's one-on-one, and he's getting locked up. Deontay Banks, another number one pick. He's basically on the bench. Too many of those. Evan Neal, this is a problem, but the main problem is, you know, Banks, the center.
Yeah, John Michael
Smith. You know, Thibodeau, if you would have invested in offensive line in those draft picks, you probably would be in a better situation.
Maybe. It's
without
just,
a doubt.
Yeah, it's hard to call miss yet. Banks may be getting there, but Cordell Flott didn't acquit himself perfectly as well, and he started over Deontay Banks. Deontay Banks came in on the dime packages. They took Cordell Flott off the field in the dime and put Deontay Banks in. I think he only played five or six plays or so, but you can't, to his point, you can't miss on draft picks, especially high draft picks, because when you do, you end up being lost for answers at those specific positions.
How much of a difference? Because obviously Andrew Thomas did not play.
Yeah.
How much of a difference will he make?
A huge difference. I mean, there were too many plays. And I like James Hudson, the third. There were just too many plays where he was off balance, where he's lunging. So his body, his top-heavy body is down, and he has zero idea what's going on in the play. The passing off of the stunts that the Commanders were doing up front. And again, I give Joe Witt a ton of credit here because they didn't know how to handle it. And there was a couple of plays where all four defensive linemen are standing up. Now, they're third and longs, so they're just trying to find, you know, confusing ways to rush the Giants. But check into a run, like do something, right? And the Giants were kind of lost, and the offensive line couldn't pass those things off. So how does it get better? I don't see it unless Andrew Thomas comes back or Evan Neal, who is inactive for this game, fulfills his potential as a guard.
No, it doesn't feel like we're anywhere close to that.
How does anything change other than those things happening?
Chris in East Windsor, New Jersey. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, Evan? What's up, CeCe? How you guys doing?
What's up, man?
What's up?
I was at the Jets game yesterday. You know, I don't know how it looked on TV, but I was just thinking about the discrepancy between the calls between the Steelers and the Jets. I saw a really big hit on Justin Fields from Trey Watt that almost would have probably killed me.
Yeah.
So how the Jets?
Chris, the problem with that specific play, I know you're talking about.
Wasn't he the runner at that point?
He didn't have the ball, but it was a run play.
Right.
If it was a bootleg or something like that, then T.J. Watt gets flagged because it was a violent hit. But when you are basically declaring as a runner, now he handed the ball off, but it's a zone read. He gets treated like a running back. It's not right, but it gives you license to tee off on the quarterback.
Yeah. And he teed off, man.
He crushed him.
He got sent 5 days to Sunday.
Right.
Now, speaking of the referees, if the Jets won this game, if they won this game, I would be looking at the clip we're about to play for you as one of the great moments in Jet history because of the swerve nature that was associated with it. So I want to bring you back.
This was great.
I want to bring you back to right after the Xavier Gibson fumble, the Steelers score a touchdown 2 plays later, and it's now 31-26 Steelers, and the Jets are responding. And I thought in that moment, biggest drive of the game. No doubt about it. They have to respond. They're down by 5. The Steelers scored 14 points in like 35 seconds. This is the drive. We're going to learn a lot about Justin Fields and the Jet offense, and what do? They march down the field. Mason Taylor, the one play he made, was here, a 20-yard catch, and they're set up driving. They've got a 3rd and 1, and they run an option play for Justin Fields in which he converts for a first down. But a flag is thrown, and I am seeing my football love flash before my eyes. And what you're about to hear is one of the most ridiculous officiating swerves that you'll ever hear. So again, the Jets have a first down. Or do they?
Personal foul, low block, offense number 5, 15-yard penalty, repeat 3rd down.
And that is a crusher for the Jets. Garrett Wilson.
Correction. Correction. The foul's on the defense. Half the distance of the goal.
Oh, what a switch. That is not a crusher for the Jets. It's the other way. Jalen Ramsey. Quite the opposite.
That was like a WWE heel turn.
Cena!
The ref just switched the emotions in this entire building.
Wow.
That was the only moment where I thought the Jets were going to win, and I'll explain why. Something like that would go against the Jets.
Yeah, it always goes the other way.
Where we would hear a call, we'd be excited, like, okay, great. And then, correction, correction, you're screwed. And so for it to go the Jets' way, and then four plays later, they actually had to convert on a fourth down where Fields danced into the end zone very easily, was like, oh, maybe things are changing.
I'm trying to think if in either one of these games there was a refereeing issue.
In terms of like a bad call?
Yeah. That you would, because think of how many times over the last couple of years we just scream and yell about the refereeing, how bad it's been. And how it's changed the outcome of games. Now, maybe it happened in other games around the league. I'm just thinking specifically the Giants and Jets. I don't think there was one.
There were small ones. Like, nothing jumps out at me, but I remember there being minor ones throughout games. Like, they should have called a hold on that.
I wasn't watching the Jets in real time, so I didn't. So you don't get them. Like, I don't get
them. Right, right.
It's just, they're not there. The penalties aren't on the all 22. But the Giants, I don't think there was anything that I felt like, oh, that's a terrible call. That's going to cost. Whatever.
But I'll tell you, Teague, if you're a Steeler fan and you're sitting there and you heard.
That's what I mean. That's why I'm saying that.
Yeah.
You won, so you're going to forget it. It doesn't matter.
Right, right.
But if you had lost, that would have been a humongous deal.
In the fact.
Now, the reality is, though, it was Jalen Ramsey.
No, they ended up getting right. And what's funny is when he said correction, I thought he was going to correct it and say it wasn't on Garrett Wilson. So I thought the correction didn't even excite me. When the referee said that, I was like, correction. Okay, the personal foul's on somebody else. Somebody else I'm going to curse out. 2 o'clock with Tiki. But then when he said on the defense.
Yeah, and by the way, that's not on him. That's on whoever, the line judge, whoever called that penalty.
Yeah.
Just told him 5 green as opposed to 5 white.
Right, that was the problem. It was the same number.
Yeah.
It was just Jalen Ramsey. And I hate to say this about Jalen Ramsey. He got the freaking last laugh. That's the reality, because he made 2 plays on that final Jet drive. Number one, the obvious one, they hit on Garrett Wilson on fourth down.
Run.
But even 2 plays before that, he jarred away what was a perfect pass by Justin Fields.
Right.
So Ramsey, say what you want about him, in his Steeler debut, he made plays. And you're right. On that fourth down, I think we were all collectively screaming at Justin Fields, run, 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 run.
Right.
Now, he did make the pass, and it should have been caught. And it should have been a first down, and they had a timeout in their pocket. Who knows? But let's all be honest, Jet fans. Let's say Garrett holds on to it. Let's say they call a timeout. Let's say the drive continues. You know, like I know, how the game was ending. Nick Folk was missing a field goal.
A Nick Folk, 57-yard field goal, just short.
Yeah. I mean, we kidding ourselves?
Same old Jets.
It would have been so painful, but look, whatever. And L's and L's and L's and L's and L's.
It's better to lose on a great play than a missed field goal.
You think so?
A great defensive play by the opponent than a missed field goal by your guy.
Yeah, you may be right about that.
I think so.
You may be right. We'll get to more of your calls next, 888-808-1019. So yesterday, the New York Giants did lose to the Washington Commanders, and there were Giant fans in the building. You could kind of hear it on TV. Didn't feel like it was a lot, but a few Giant fans made the trip, including our very own Sean Morash. You took the Amtrak. You went down there.
Sure.
Now, I think you cheated a little bit because you sat in a suite. So you're not exactly dealing with the opponent when you're sitting in a luxurious suite.
But they're not bad down there, right?
No. So
how would he know? He was in a suite.
I will tell you this. A couple things. Number one, there were way more Giant fans down there than you gave credit for.
Really?
I mean, it was a sea of blue there.
Give me a breakdown. What do you think, 70-30?
65-35?
No way.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, yeah. And the Giant fans were... We didn't have a lot of times to get loud, but yeah, when the Giants came coming out.
That is fair that there weren't a lot of moments where you would hear the Giant fan. So that's a fair report.
Yeah, you could just see the sea of blue was there. I was shocked by it, and even walking through the parking lot.
It's an easy trip. Whether you take the train or you drive.
Yeah.
It's not that bad of a drive.
Yeah, especially for people from Jersey that drive. So that
100%.
That was super easy. The Washington fans, this is, I think, my 10th road game I've gone to, are number one in terms of the nicest fan base to road opponents I've ever come across.
Have you been to Buffalo?
No, but out of the ones I've been to.
They're the worst.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
Well, maybe to division rivals. But,
I was going to say.
And maybe to Green Bay. Hall of Fame running backs right. like you.
Green Bay is great, too.
Green Bay? Oh, really? Yeah. I'm not surprised by that. Wisconsin, nice, I would believe.
Yeah, they're just kind of, they appreciate the game.
I think, like, I live down there in Maryland and went to the D.C. sporting event. I think the reason why they seem to be nice, and they are nice, is that, I don't know, a lot of them came from different places.
Yeah, they were probably fans of somebody else. Got, I don't want to say stuck, but the way I'll use it, stuck in D.C.
Yeah.
Because of whatever reason, and they became Commander fans.
Yeah.
That's a lot of the fan base.
So you had a good experience with the Commander fan?
Had a great experience with the fan, and the stadium makes Shea look like the Taj Mahal. I mean, that was, everybody says it's a dump.
Don't take a shot at Shea Stadium. That means very dear and near to my heart.
All right. The Nassau Coliseum.
Well, why can't you pick an arena or stadium of a team I don't root for?
Okay, how about this one? Everybody hates MetLife Stadium. MetLife Stadium is the biggest palace on earth compared to what that functioning building is
now. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
How old is that? Is it?
It's only like 35 years old, something like that.
35 is a long time.
Okay, but this looks like it looks like RFK was sooner, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I hear you.
Have you been to RFK Stadium?
Yes, I was a long time
that
ago.
That was a dump, too.
Yeah, this is just, I don't understand how it's so bad.
But well, eventually, they're getting a new one.
They are. It looks very, very nice. Now, the issue that we're running into is there's a scandal involving you, Sean.
Of course.
Involving you taking your clothes off.
What?
Are you aware of this?
I am not aware of this.
Ladies
at all.
And gentlemen, here is the audio of Sean Morash after the Giants lost, taking his clothes off.
I've changed in the bathroom. I can't walk out of this place. I can't walk out of this place. How do I keep doing this to myself? I'm a freaking loser. I'm a freaking loser. I'm going to travel back on the train for this.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan was right. If that's how the offense is going to look, it's time to play Jackson Dart. Let's all admit it. You got to play him. At least ride this out with a rookie quarterback. Because this was atrocious. I'm so embarrassed. I'm a pathetic sack of garbage.
There's a lot there. First of all, I think you meant Tommy was right, because I wasn't asking to start Jackson Dart,
no,
nor am I.
Time out. I don't know why, just time out. You said we would be quicker to say play Jackson Dart than we're saying. That was what I meant by Evan was right.
Okay. Understand. Number two, it's amazing, Teak, how high his voice gets.
when he's emotional.
Yeah.
When he's on a heightened alert type of situation.
I'm such a loser. This is really bad. What's going on?
What did you mean laughing at myself?
What did you put on?
All right. So
are you prepared for this?
Yes. And there's backstory to this that I think we can back up. 10 years ago, I went to the Giants-Cowboys opener in Dallas, and the Cowboys beat the Giants on a last-second touchdown by Jason Witten. And they were the nicest people down there in Dallas. They were really good until the game ended.
Yeah.
And me and my wife and other Giant fans walked out of there, and these Cowboy fans, while playing Weed and Boys, fired beer bottles over our head and cracked. So it's this long walkout, and there's this Walmart in the parking lot of AT&T Stadium. It's a really, if you've never been down there, so they weren't trying to hit us. But they would throw the bottles, and it was like a barrage over our heads, and it would smack against this brick wall, and we were getting hit with beer and everything like that. And it was really bad. Then I went to Cleveland, and the Giants beat the Browns, and they fired sex toys at us.
Sounds like a party.
Only because I was
like, oh, I'll take this one home. Yeah, D might like this one.
I have experience walking out of some of these games. Exactly. Yeah, well, we'll see. And not knowing how the Washington fans would react post-game, I prepared myself and said, if this goes bad, it's not like I can go to a hotel room and shower. I'm going to be sitting on a train for another 3-4 hours home.
Right.
I just didn't want to be covered in beer and anything. So I packed a very light hoodie to put over my head in this instance. What ended up happening is I did all that. I walked out of the stadium, and I learned very quickly two things. Number one, suddenly it was 95 degrees as soon as I hit the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And they were fine. So there's another video of me after kind of laughing about how there was no traffic leaving there. Everybody said it would be, and I took it back off. But yes, I did exit with it covering my head, not looking like a Giants fan at all. I was scared, but it was so I didn't get covered in beer.
I mean, I think you took the easy way out. If you go to a road game, a part of going to a road game is you got to take the arrows, man. Yeah. You weren't even sitting in the seats with Commander fans.
Yes, I was.
You went into
there
a
There were Commander
suite.
Fans in the box.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's in a box, bro.
To be fair, and I'm very appreciative of the box I was in. Shout out Mark. Shout out his dad, all of them. The deal is, though, when you're sitting in a suite there, you're sitting in regular seats.
I mean, but you're... You're protected.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah.
But you're protected. And the fact
from
that...
From the masses. You're protected from the masses, but it is still a regular seat.
I get it. You're protected from the masses. And then in leaving, it's called the walk of shame.
I get it.
I've taken the walk of shame. Tommy took the walk of shame out of Boston.
Sure did.
I didn't see him changing his shirt.
I did not.
He didn't even consider it.
Listen, pal. Next time, go to the Jet game. Don't sell the Steelers tickets before you come at me about taking a walk of shame.
Don't turn this. This has nothing to do with me.
I made the trip. I wasn't scared to wear Giants gear in. I wore Giants gear the whole train ride home with other Commander fans.
Come on.
So what? A 3-minute walk out. I put a sweatshirt. Not so I didn't get necessarily heckled. I just didn't want to be covered in alcohol for 3 hours on a train home. I did the smart thing, and that's called veteranship. And you know why, Evan? Because I've done the walk of shame multiple times because I keep making these road trips to have my teeth kicked in by other fan bases, and I still want to do the trips. But I'm a veteran now. Well, I know when to turn the page.
Well, didn't a Commander fan make it less trepidatious for you?
Yeah, absolutely did. There and I don't go. Think I do that
so
in the next
now,
trip.
So now you go on the next trip and you won't have to do that.
And I'd go back too, by the way. That's a road trip I would do again because they were so nice.
I'm disappointed in you. That is the softest kind of garbage I've ever heard. I don't think you actually went to a road game. I don't think this even counts.
I wore the gear in.
Bro,
you need to go to Philly. You need to go to Philly.
Yeah. And
do I?
Yeah.
Sean.
How about Jackson Dart proves he can play well? Then I'll consider going to Philly.
Okay. Here's what disgusts me. No, literally disgusted. Again, I cite Tommy. I was standing next to him.
This was a playoff game, too, mind you.
Up in Boston!
In Boston!
In Boston!
Where the fans absolutely thought they were back in the series and were going to win the series, and I was called every name in the book. By the way, even, I would take this step further, winning in Philly, I understand that they packed it in, but that's dangerous, too. I didn't change my gear. I partied in the streets and then went to the bar afterwards they have nearby.
You hit on that because my example of this that you can't beat, you could try, you won't beat it, is I went to Mets Phillies postseason in Mets stuff. My son, my dad, my wife. I was asking to be assassinated. Like, I was
assassinated. You're not a president.
I know, right? I was asking for it.
We just got shot. But
and
maybe mugged.
Yeah.
They lost on a walk-off. And I remember as we got up and got out, I said to my dad, I said to my kid, I said to my wife, be self-deprecating and we'll be okay. That's the trick. Just be self-deprecating. Yeah, we suck, you know, woe is me. And I left the upper deck in Philadelphia. Do you realize how filthy those people are? Try to make love with each other two seats behind me.
Yeah.
I'm cleaning it up. That literally was happening behind me. And I didn't change out of my Rico Bronya jersey. My dad didn't change out of his Tug McGraw jersey. Jet didn't change out of his Edwin Diaz jersey. We did it. Tommy, whether it's in Philadelphia after a victory or Boston after a loss, didn't change out of his Landry Fields jersey. He walked out like an adult.
Two tough towns.
All right. Mm-hmm. And for you on an opening day against a softy town like D.C. to be afraid that you got to change in the little boys' room? I'm disgusted.
Also, Evan, another great example here. How many times have you walked out of Yankee Stadium wearing Met gear?
Okay.
Me too. And we didn't change, you know, take our Met hat off so that we wouldn't get heckled.
Walk out of Madison Square Garden with an Islander jersey after you guys won overtime on a Marion Gabrick game winner. The Nets are different because no one cares.
Okay, fine. I was trying to throw you a bone.
But in the KD era, you guys did. And it was pretty bad.
Are we allowed to do name calling now in hour three? Do you two losers, as you're waxing poetic about Philly, can I ask you a question? Am I a Knicks fan? Ever? Huh? Evan? Answer the question.
You're not a Knicks fan.
Am I a 76ers fan?
No.
And who on this show caught the most crap walking out of that game?
Well, you wore a Rondé Barber jersey.
So stop saying I'm soft. I didn't have a...
That was kind of your fault.
Yes, but the point is...
You picked the most hated person in the town.
Exactly. So I did that walk of shame. I didn't win or lose the game. All I did was protect myself against smelling like beer for 3 hours so I could just have a nice, relaxing ride home after another loss on opening day.
One last question, because we'll leave it here.
Okay.
Do you regret making the trip?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
I respect
it's
that.
It's an experience I'll have forever.
Diego is in East Meadow. What's up, Diego?
Hey, boys. Same old Giants. We should be to it. But what's really starting to get played out is this fact that, oh, just give Dable time, give him a QB. Like, TK, I respect your opinion, man. You say he's a good coach, but what you said at halftime matched perfectly. It's uninspiring football, and it's happened for the third straight season opener.
Right.
And I want to say that coming off of bye weeks, he's also 0-3. When you give him the most amount of time to prepare, we get the garbage that we did yesterday.
Yeah.
So what makes you think that giving him a week to get ready for the Cowboys, it's going to be any different?
Nothing makes me think it's going to be any different until I see something different. And then, again, so much of this is scheme, but a lot of it is execution. And we just talked about the multiple times the penalty, roughing the, or whatever it was, illegal hands of the face that got them first and goal on the one. Any one of those plays could have worked if they were executed well. They just weren't executed well. And so is that on Dabes or is that on the guys not executing? And sometimes it's little things. It's like Marcus Bowe, when he was lined up on that second down play and it was a dive to or whatever, it was actually a gap scheme play because the backside guard was pulling to Cam Scataboo. It's a rookie mistake. He was his split was a yard and a half as opposed to like 2 inches.
Mm.
On the goal line, you got to be foot to foot. So he's looking in and he's like, all right, am I in the right position? Ball snapped. He gets beat immediately across his face. Like that's execution. That's not play call. If that play is lined up correctly, Cam Scataboo probably scores. And it's instead of 7-3, it's 7-7.
Yeah.
And so it's a different game. If that happens, instead they crap the bed down there. They have to settle for the field goal. But with all that said, it's still only a one possession game with 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So, was it ugly and uninspiring to watch? Yes, but was it uncompetitive in a blowout game? Not really. Not until Deebo Samuel scored with whatever it was 4 minutes, 3 minutes left to go in the game.
It was a non-blowout blowout. And what I mean by that is it wasn't a blowout.
You never felt like the Giants were going to win?
1,000%.
But it wasn't a blowout.
It was not a blowout. Like, they always had a chance, but watching the game, just as an IFO, and not even being a hater, just being honest, I never thought they had a chance in hell.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.